T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Ron, let's go out to the Nemecolon fan hotline, where we find our friend and yours, Mr. Bob Grove. Grover, it's been a while, at least for you and I, to speak. How are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. It has. It's always good to be on with you, and you and Ron both. Always enjoy talking hockey with you.
So 13 hours ago, one of your all-time legendary tweets came out. You're the most amazing statistician, the most amazing historian that I've ever seen. And this, I'll just quote this one. Crosby tonight with his 72nd career goal on the backhand. Are you keeping track of that, or is somebody else? Do you keep track of that?
Well, I do. But, you know, to be honest with you, so does the National Hockey League. I mean, you can go to NHL.com and look this up. And I know that their site was down last night because I was trying to confirm their number was the same as my number. And their site was down. The whole site wasn't down, but I wasn't able to make sure they had the same number as me. But I've checked it most recently, beginning of the year or end of last year. But yeah, I used to always, keep track. I mean, I keep track of a lot of crazy, stupid stuff, and that's one of the things I do track.
I mean, that is really interesting to me, and I can't believe that over the course of his career, there's anybody else who scored more on the backhand. Do you happen to have that information handy?
Well, I don't have it handy, but I will tell you that, you know, the guy who I remember going through these before, looking at where he stacks up in the league, and the other guy who jumps out a lot is Brad Marchand of Boston. He's another guy who scores a ton of goals on the backhand. And, you know, if you think about it, if you think about where those two score a lot of goals, around the net, right? That kind of makes sense. But Sid's always been – you know, Sid's always been known for that. You know, he's got the straight blade for the most part. We all know the attention to detail that he puts on his entire game. And he's always been a guy that's been very comfortable scoring on the backhand and look, the other thing is, you guys know this, you've seen him make passes on the backhand that are tape to tape through legs and sticks. He's absolutely amazing.
How is he playing for you, Bob? I mean, he's had a goal in the last two games, but he had gone a long time. I think, you know, one goal since like December, December 5th, a long time. How is he playing for you? Still great?
Yeah. I mean, I have zero issues with his game. I mean, look, the numbers are what they are, and, you know, all of us like to sort of gravitate to the numbers when we're evaluating how somebody does, and that goes double for guys like Crosby. I mean, he's been having trouble finishing plays. I mean, he just can't buy one. I've seen, you know, in the last couple weeks where goaltenders have either just made incredible saves or he's just missed or thrown it off the bar or whatever the case may be, and Gustafson made a good save on him last night on a shot that I thought was probably headed for the net. So he's had trouble finishing. And that's especially been true on the power play. You know, his goal last night was his first power play goal in 30 games. That's the longest drought like that of his career that you're not used to seeing that. And you almost feel like he's pressing a little bit for that piece of his game, the goal scoring. But when I look at his whole game, okay, he's had a couple of off nights in the circle, like most of his teammates the last three or four games. But, you know, he's been good there. He's playing the rink, you know, he's coming back, he's doing his defensive duties as he always does, and I think, you know, he's been the driving force behind the success the Penguins have had, even though he doesn't have the gaudy numbers.
Bob Grove on the Nemecolon fan hotline. So let's get to the big question, it seems, of the week, the day, whatever. I don't buy into this, but a lot of people seem to believe that Geno's return has meant that the Penguins, and this was their fear, has meant that the Penguins suddenly become a little more irresponsible and lax defensively. What are your thoughts on that, Grover?
Well, I think people, look, my thoughts are that it's mostly baloney, to be honest with you. This was a narrative that was created in the weeks before he even got back in the game, you know? And so then when the Penguins stop winning 10 in a row and they start winning, you know, 4 out of 7, suddenly he's the problem. I'm sorry, there just are a lot of people in Pittsburgh. I see it on Twitter. Like, yeah. That's where they're living. They're like, that's where they're living. Like, okay, so now we're not winning every night, and it's all Geno's fault. And I'm sorry, I'm not buying any piece of that. I'm not. I mean, he's playing 20 minutes a night. So what happens the other 40 minutes when he's not on the ice? You going to blame him for that too? I mean, look, I've said all along, Geno is going to do what Geno does. He's not going to change his game at this stage of his career. You know, does he always follow the script? No, he does not. Defensively or when he has the puck. Does he sometimes turn it over in dangerous areas? Yes, he does. But you know what? That kind of coloring outside the Mike Sullivan lines, that's what makes Geno Geno. That's what makes him a Hall of Famer, is that he has the belief in himself and he has the ability to make plays that aren't the just let's just do it by rote. So I don't have a problem with it.
All right, Bob, but I think we would agree, and I agree with you, but they're not playing as well as they were, even though they've got a couple wins out of this.
Yeah.
You know, they're not playing as well, and I thought Jari was great at the beginning last night, that even though they had a big lead, I thought they were playing horribly, and then Jari gave up a couple questionable rebounds. Why are they drifting a little bit away? Is it just part of the ebb and flow of a long season?
Some of it is that, but they are not. I mean, and first we should start out with what Joe said at the top of the segment, which is they're still finding a way to win. And let's never forget that that's the most important thing, right? But you're absolutely right. They're not. They're not playing the same kind of hockey and, you know, that they were during their 10-game winning streak. And some of it is, look, Jari's rebound control the last few games has not been particularly great. I don't think the Penguins have the back-checking intensity that they had during that 10-game streak, not at all. And I think some of the details have absolutely left their game. And when I say details, you know, I mentioned earlier, they've had like 3 or 4 poor games in a row in the faceoff circle. And so puck possession is important, especially when you're doing it, you know, in either the offensive or defensive zone. And so I think about that. I think about their power play. It continues to underperform. Not only it wasn't an issue last night, but they're not getting as many chances as you would think they might get. And then on a lot of those chances, they're not even getting the number of shots on the net that you would expect a power play with that kind of a lineup to get. So, and they're also, they've taken some lazy penalties, which has not really been much of a problem for them this season. So for me, it's a lot of that kind of detail that has gone out of their game, and they do need to fix it because some of these third periods have been brutal to watch.
Yeah, I think people forget that they had an 8-5 game against San Jose right before Geno got back light up and then gave up three in the next game. Having said that, I think we're on the same page. I don't think Geno infects this team with, you know, irresponsible hockey. But, and I compare it, and there was a game on last night, Klay Thompson coming back to the Golden State Warriors. That team had been playing awesome all year. So had the Penguins, playing a certain way. When you incorporate any superstar back or star back into your lineup, it does completely alter people's roles and chemistry. And I think one example of that is Erod. Suddenly he's gone 6 games without a point. He's -4, yep. Looks discombobulated. He's not playing the role he was. I guess the way I see it is you have to have faith that having a guy like a Geno or a Klay Thompson is ultimately going to give you the best chance to get where you want to go. But it's also true that it upsets whatever chemistry you had in their absence. Do you know what I mean?
Well, no, I hear you, Joe. And you're right. I mean, 6 games in a row for Rodriguez, and he doesn't look like the same player. So I would say a couple of things about that. Number one, does anyone really think the pace that Erod was on was sustainable? Because it wasn't, and it isn't. For anybody. And so there's that. And let's face it, Erod is now spending more time playing with Malkin than he's ever done before, if I'm not mistaken. So those two have to kind of figure each other out, and that's not something you can just do in a couple of games. And I think they'll be fine getting there. And if it's an issue for, if that becomes an issue, like they just don't find the chemistry, you know, if you think about it, if he plays with them there, or you're going to go back to Kapanen, who he's been playing a lot with, right? So I'm thinking about Erod on the other line, so I'm sorry. But you've got to give these guys chemistry to figure it out. And part of it's Kapanen, because Kapanen, we all know, is his consistency is a big issue.
Bob, I'm fascinated by what's going on in Edmonton. You saw the exchange with Draisaitl and the media guy the other day. It was ugly. They lose again last night, 6-0. And I read the story. They said the fans are actually throwing jerseys on the ice. They're 2-11-2 in the past 15, have lost 7 in a row. What is going on out there?
Well, the jersey tossing has actually been going on before in Edmonton. So that's not new for them, and it's kind of sad to see.
Those things cost a lot of money.
They do. And you know what? Here's the thing. They're not getting the goaltending. That's, for me, that's a lot of it. It's not the whole story, but, you know, Koskinen last night, not even close to being good enough. You know, they took a risk. They took a risk at the start of the season, you know, going in with Smith who's in his age and all that kind of stuff, and it hasn't worked out. He's been hurt. And just look at the way that team is playing right now. They get behind. I forget what the number is, but something like they've given up the first goal in something like 13 of 17 games. So they're chasing every single game. They're just chasing it all. And they're not getting the goaltending. And it's up to Ken Holland to fix it. Like, this is not Dave Tippett's issue. He doesn't have the guys. They have some injuries right now as well, but it's unbelievable to watch after the start that they had that this has happened to this team. And you look at this and you know what you think about is it took 5 years for Mario to get in a playoff game. Remember? We all remember that, right? It was frustrating. So think about, you know, McDavid and what could go down as all these almost like wasted years, wasted in the sense of you're trying to win the Stanley Cup and you can't even get into the postseason except for, you know, 1 year, I think, that they made it, and they came within a game again to the third round. So it's unbelievable to watch, but they need a goaltender. They need one desperately, and they need one right now.
What do you think of No Sid in the All-Star game?
Well, it's unfortunate because I think, you know, that's the thing that attracts you to those games. But you look, it's a competition, and I agree with those who are pointing out, like, can we stop the madness of having to send somebody from every team? I've always felt that way. I know why the NHL does it. We all know why they do it, but I don't support it. And if they didn't have that, he'd be there. But, you know, he understands the situation. And the two guys who were going there from Pittsburgh, and Jari and Gensel, they absolutely deserve to be there.
Gensel is a star, isn't he? I mean, so little physically, so unimposing, yet he's become a star.
He is. He's an unbelievable player around the net. And we've heard people talk about how smart he is and his ability to finish. I mean, his hands are just incredible. I mean, and we've seen this from the very start with this guy. I mean, I don't know how you guys felt about it, but you remember his first game. You know, he had 2 goals. And, that's one game. He spent a few here. Then he went back to the American League. Then he came back. And then that playoff run he was on, you know, in 17. You just knew right then that this was not your garden variety, you know, decent scorer. This was a special player who finds ways to finish plays all around the net. And, yes, he benefits from having Sidney Crosby, but it goes way deeper than that with Jake Gensel because he knows how to play with Sid, and we all know that not everybody can figure that out, just like everybody couldn't figure out how to play with Mario. It's not as easy as it always looks. It's demanding. It's demanding mentally as well as physically, and he's up to all of that stuff. So this kid is a special, special player.
Thank you, Grover.
All right, guys, thanks.
See you, Robert.
Bob Grove, there he goes.
Does he have the most unbelievable
72 backhands?
But I mean,
there's
something every night. Every night,
several
he comes
things,
up
yes,
with something good. It's so worth following him.
Fan, let's see here. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Coming up next, we haven't really looked closely at these divisional round playoff games. I want to know from Ron and you, the quarterback and coach under the most pressure this weekend. Who? Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer, with locations in Wexford, North Huntington, and Uniontown. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. It's 12:20. Good time for an insurance checkup by the Buell Insurance Agency. Also a good time to check in live here, live video, what's going on in the studio. Go to 93.7thefan.com. Shows live video, and you can watch Horse eat his afternoon apple.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some very, very enticing matchups this weekend, Ron. And I want to know from you, which quarterback and which coach are under, obviously everybody's under pressure. Everybody has a gigantic chance, and you got a real chance as you advance here in the playoffs. I think any one of these teams could get to the Super Bowl. I really do. But I want to ask you, which coach and quarterback are under the most pressure? Let's start with the coach. You first.
You know, I don't see any coach here that's going to be in dire straits if they lose this. I think there's always pressure on the number one seed, so I'd probably say Mike Vrabel at Tennessee. But
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to get fired,
yeah.
But there's perception-wise.
I don't even know that the seed will get hotter. They'll take a lot of criticism. You know, the Tennessee thing, Vrabel – you know, they have the number one seed. You know, maybe Green Bay because they haven't been able to get to a Super Bowl. I mean, Arians, McVay, you know, Buffalo maybe. Although they're playing Mahomes on the road, it's tough. Who would you say? I'd say Vrabel.
I'd say McVay. You know, they made their team the Miami Heat. They brought in a bunch of big-time players with the idea
Showtime.
Of getting over the hump that they haven't been able to get over. And now they have an injured Tampa Bay team. And even though they're the underdog, their season will be viewed as a massive failure if they don't at least get to the Super Bowl. And I would think even win it. They're sort of a different breed. They were built and they brought in people like Von Miller, Odell Beckham. I mean, they've built an all-star team there to win it this year. Who knows what happens to that team next year or the year after with some of the big money guys they have. Matthew Stafford brought in to win now, so boy genius better get it done.
Yeah, that's good. That's fair. Quarterbacks, I would say Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah?
I mean, he's Aaron Rodgers. He's going to win the MVP. I still, you know, has been to one Super Bowl since he beat the Steelers in 2010. I think if they would happen to go out tomorrow night, he'll take some big-time criticism for that, more than I would think Guy LaFleur would, whose record is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers has had chances to win this thing at home. That's what you die for.
Short. And if they win tomorrow, they're going to be at home next week for the championship game.
You live for those years when your team is relatively healthy, you have a great record, and you're playing at home. You know, that was the Steelers when they were, what, 13-3? The Jesse James year, Ron, you live for years where you have that kind of record. Now, they wouldn't have had home field that year, but they had it for one game, you know, and Green Bay's had it for two multiple times now. So I think that's a good pick, but I'm still going back to Stafford. All he's going to be viewed as, again, is a guy who can't get it done when it matters if they lose this game, if he doesn't play well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think the other one is Josh Allen. They went into Kansas City last year in the AFC title game and lost. You know, at what point are you going to get by Kansas City? You just played a perfect game. You know, you hammered Kansas City on that same field earlier this season. You got to go in there and win. Now everyone's still going to think, for good reason. I mean, Rodgers is still great whether he wins or loses. So is Josh Allen, you know. But at some point, if you're Josh Allen, you got to knock down the door. Also for Rodgers, that second Super Bowl puts you in a different stratosphere, doesn't it?
Especially if you win it. You know, he needs to win another.
That's what I mean, a second Super Bowl title.
But he's only been to one.
Yeah.
It's not like he's been to two or three and lost. He's been to one. He beat the Steelers and hasn't been back since. He needs to get to another one, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think his legacy is secure.
Oh, there's no doubt.
He's going to win his fourth MVP.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt.
I think he might be a top five quarterback of all time, but if I thought he was on the outskirts of that, man,
one more Super Bowl title would solidify it. Really put you over the top.
Does he get into the conversation of greatest? Well, I guess you have to say Brady, of second greatest quarterback of all time if he wins another Super Bowl.
Man,
four MVPs.
You know, yeah.
Two Super Bowls.
I mean, I'm still partial to the Montanas.
I think he's better than Joe Montana.
Dan Marino, John Elway. I mean, I might put Elway second on that list. Elway was unbelievable to me. I mean, clearly you want to argue for him second. You got a lot of ground to argue with Rodgers, I'm talking
about. Yeah, especially if he adds that Super Bowl.
But if he doesn't, I think that not that it's a blight against him, but
no.
It's somewhat of a blight against him.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I can't.
Maybe it is because he's had these home games. I think that's the thing with him. You know, he's had golden chances.
But maybe this will be the year that he delivers.
But it's hard for me to say blight when a guy's going to win his fourth
blight
MVP.
Blight might not have been the right word.
But maybe it is, though.
It's a demerit on his resume.
Maybe it is.
But it just what would separate him maybe from an Elway or a couple of those other guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's going to be an interesting game because I think if San Francisco's healthy, they could actually compete with them. But I'm not sure they're not going to be losing guys during the game. They have some questionable bodies going in.
And we'll make our picks coming up in a little more than an hour. But just look ahead to next week. How cool would it be for Brady and Tampa Bay to go to Green Bay to play Rodgers and the Packers in those kind of conditions?
Yes.
I saw a note today, by the way. About how Roger said the colder the better. Garoppolo has never taken a snap below 40 degrees. Three times he took snaps, they were all kneel downs in games. Has never taken a snap below 40, and they're talking about negative wind chill.
Yeah, I don't tomorrow. Like San Francisco in this game at all, really, with Green Bay. What's the best game? Buffalo, KC, easily?
To me, it's easily. The best. I think Mahomes is the best quarterback on the planet. Josh Allen isn't far behind. I just love watching Mahomes play. And can you play a better playoff game than Buffalo did last week?
Literally,
against
no.
New England?
Literally, no.
I also don't think they're going to match that performance in Kansas City. It doesn't mean they can't win, but I don't think they're going to be that great. I think it's a hell of a game. I mean, and that's why it's a 6:30 game on Sunday night.
You know what we didn't mention as a quarterback under a ton of pressure, and maybe along with Garoppolo, the only guy on this list that people will say either get him out of here or he can't get it
Tannehill.
Done. Yeah, we didn't mention him. If he doesn't get it done again, then and he has a bad game.
Especially as a number one seed at home.
He becomes the guy like, is that the guy holding us from getting to where we want to go? I'm not a big Tannehill believer. I think they're going into this game clearly with the second-best quarterback. I think they still might win, but they're going in to most games once you get to this level with the second-best quarterback. You agree?
Yeah.
And it's tough to win.
It's tough to win, although our friend Chelsea the other day said, what is he, 9 touchdowns, no interceptions in the last bunch of games or something like that? You know, she thinks that he's much better than he's given credit for, but she also admits that she's a Titans fan.
Right. Well, I think they might win this one. I think they might ground and pound their way to a win, but, man, it's tough to win it all when
I'll take
when every week the other guys have the
I'll
better
take
quarterback.
The other kid at quarterback every day of the week.
Which underdog do you like the best, Ron? I like L.A. Having a chance.
You're starting to get a little close to our picks, and we're coming close to the era where I don't want to say who I like best as an underdog, and then you pick it the same way because you got a one game.
Then I'll tell you who I like as an underdog, and you can pick opposite of me.
I
like L.A.
I have mine written down.
I'm already going on these commercials telling people who I like. You can hear it. I like L.A. going into Tampa. When Tom Brady gets beat, it's a team with a big pass rush. It's horses, Broncos that put him out with DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller, who looked like
Von Miller's back.
He looked like himself last weekend. And you have Aaron Donald. You've got other guys who can rush the passer. You have Jalen Ramsey in your secondary.
And you got a beat-up offensive line.
All right.
And you have a beat-up offensive line. That's. I think L.A. has a great chance, Ron. The only thing is Matthew Stafford could keep both teams in the game.
No doubt. See, I am a man of integrity. You're not. See, if I'd have said first Rams, you'd have picked Rams just to
I didn't say I was picking the Rams yet.
Oh, you didn't?
No, not officially.
But you said you really love them, and you're on your commercial saying
yeah, I love them.
So
I do love them.
I got to write down L.A. Rams.
Well, we don't really
right?
have the luxury of waiting until the last segment on Friday to analyze NFL games.
But you don't ask me who underdog I like best. Because now you have no integrity with this.
Well, now I've done you a favor. You're behind in the playoffs. Now you know who I'm picking.
And I picked L.A. Rams, too. That's why I say I have integrity. I could scratch that off.
You could.
And say Tampa, but I'm not going to do that because I have my four written down here, and I have L.A. Rams. So I'm a man of integrity. I don't believe that you are. I think you would do anything to win. You would cut my throat to win.
And I intentionally
even though I beat you during the regular season.
By
you're
one.
Embarrassed by it.
By one. And I picked against you intentionally, even though I was picking against what I thought. You have to at some point. Let me ask you this.
If you were
down by two going into the AFC title game, you wouldn't pick against me in both games? How could you not? It's your only chance to win, Ron.
I'm
like pulling the goalie. You have to pull the goalie at that
integrity.
Point.
I pick who I pick, write them down, and then we make our choices. And I don't change based on what you do.
Listen to Cook and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Ron, guess what's coming next?
What?
Joe's favorite.
Another mock draft.
No more mock drafts.
Oh, we have one
please.
Coming at the top of the hour, though, don't we?
We do have that because that's done by a professional, Mr. Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports.
He's a big fan of mine, isn't he?
He used to read your column when he was at CMU.
When he was back up to be a younger man.
Yes. Horse, can you turn Ron's microphone back on? He said I didn't turn it off. I have Joe's likes next, Ron. And I've got the Steelers, a very good one. The Steelers dead last in two different categories since the start of 2017. I'll tell you what they are next. And I also have Jerry Dulac's mailbag, where he has some different things to say about Matt Canada. Like Ray Fittipaldo, it does not sound to me like a man who's very hooked into the Steelers necessarily believes that Canada coming back is a done deal.
Wow.
How about them apples, Ron?
And Bouchette tells us on Wednesday that there's no way Mike says what he says if he's not coming back. And I believe that 100%. So I'm going to agree to disagree with Ray and Dulac.
Have you ever tried bird milk, Ron?
No, but I see you tweet it all the time. Holy bird milk. And I have no idea what that even means.
Can you milk a bird?
I don't know.
You can. And I just read a story earlier today that all of us may be forced to drink pigeon milk before long.
Well, I won't be drinking any milk.
Horse, may I interest you in a glass of pigeon milk? Where did Horse go?
He's not paying any attention.
Oh, yeah, he's not paying attention. All right, Dulac on Canada next. But I like it.
Now he's responding to your Joe's likes. Yesterday you were very dismayed and disheartened, I think would be the word I would. You were
with Horse's review of the new segment.
You
yes.
were disheartened by it, right?
Do you remember what I said? I said, Horse, what did you think of our new segment called Joe's Likes? And he said, Well, now that I think about it, he was trying to make a pun. He said, I like it.
With a question.
Yeah. Okay. Now I get
it. He was trying to be sarcastically funny.
Right. I get that. And thank you, horse. I thought it went well. Let's try it again, shall we?
I loved it.
These are things that I find on Twitter throughout the course of the day, and I just sort of put them in the hopper by pressing the like button so that I can come back to them, and most of them I never do. So I find at the end of every week, I have these wonderful little discussion points, Ron, that just sort of are, you know, shredded like in a paper shredder. So let's go over a few, shall we?
Let's move on to it.
Let's take a little trip around the sports world. John Parrotto, our friend, a happy 51st birthday to former Pirates outfielder Brian Giles. What do you remember about him,
Jilly,
Ron?
Jilly. I remember him making the greatest catch I've ever seen at PNC Park, where he literally climbed up the wall and reached into the stands to pull it back. He was a great player here. Obviously great numbers. In the year PNC Park opened, what was that, 2001? They played Cleveland, first place Cleveland. They stunk on the way to 100 losses. He scored on a single from first base in the bottom of the ninth, a little single bloop hit into right center. I'll never forget that. Big crowd that day. But he was not happy here. He was one of those guys that was miserable playing for that team. They had no chance to win. And I had many, many, many interesting off-the-record conversations with him.
But he was I'd love to hear some of those.
He was a really good player.
Not only was he a really good player, he's by far, if you look at numbers, the most underrated player in the history of this franchise. It's ridiculous. I mean, they didn't call him the lumber company for nothing back in the 70s, and they had good players, great players before that, long before that. But of all the players in Pirates history, the number one guy in slugging percentage is Brian Giles, which is incredible to me.
Is it not to you?
Ahead of Kiner, Stargell, Bonds, Parker, Brian Giles.
He could hit the ball. There's no question.
OPS on base plus slugging. Brian Giles, number one of all time. Home runs. He's seventh all time.
He'll never get his due because he played on such bad teams. Not fair to him. I get what you're saying, but
I don't know. Is it or not? I don't know. Were there questions about whether he was doing it cleanly or no?
Well, there were some of those, too.
Were there?
Yeah, there were.
Interesting to me. That's all. That guy, of all guys, is the leader in two stats like that. Above some of the legends in this franchise history. Our old friend Ryan Scarpino from the Steelers. The Steelers are dead last in the league in rushing yards and yards per carry since the start of the 2017 season. Doesn't matter who takes over at QB, you better fix the run game. Mind-blowing, isn't it, Ron? And Art Rooney says, well, pretty much every year they're going to fix it. Have they fixed it?
No, they haven't. I think they got the right running back. But they haven't had the offensive line to go with it. It's just, you know, you got to be able to run it better than they can. And Art always says, not necessarily we don't have to run it more, but we have to be able to run it when we want to, and they can't.
I think you could also argue they haven't had the quarterback that people respect can get it down the field on them. I think it's a combination of those. So they play, you know, closer to the line and challenge you. Challenge you to beat them over the top is what they challenge you to
do. That's fair.
And they can't. All right, Ron. We move on to Jerry Dulac's chat.
Yeah,
transcript.
I want to hear this.
Very, very, very interesting stuff on Matt Canada. And obviously that's become a huge topic with a lot of people. And Jerry basically says that nothing's been decided. That's what I read into it. Somebody says, does AR2, Art Rooney, need to save us from another year? He needs to save us from another year of Canada. No. Jerry says, too early to tell. I just don't know how they can have any amount of faith in what they do offensively after watching what they did the past 8 to 9 weeks. Brutal. Then he's asked, it doesn't sound like Tomlin is ready to part ways with Canada. Any chance Rooney steps in and forces that change? Dulac. he did with Bruce Arians when Tomlin wanted him back. So he's far from dismissing and even leading you to believe that that could happen, Ron.
I don't buy it.
That's what I hear.
I don't buy it. And I respect Jerry thoroughly, and I know Jerry has great sources.
One more before you go on.
All right.
Any chance Art overrules Tomlin in regard to Canada?
Sounds like there's three questions exactly I know, the same.
He said, of course there's a chance. He did it with Arians after a 12-4 season. Why don't you think that Art would do that?
Because
you think they already talked.
I think they've already talked. I don't think Mike talks like that, you know, knowing that Canada could be fired. I don't think that. I think he learned his lesson from Arians. That's all I'm saying. I think if he hadn't have talked to Art yet, I think Mike is smart enough to say, you know, we're under review. All of us are under review. We're still having our meetings here. There are any number of things that, you know. Now, the day before, he could have said, I want to bring him back, and Art could have said, no, I'm sorry. That wouldn't have surprised me, but I don't think that move will happen now. I don't. I don't think Mike would have talked, and I know Bouchette shares that same feeling.
Man. So when did they talk? The Monday after Monday? A devastating loss, or had they been talking all along maybe
I'm sure.
I know it's not going well. We all know the deal here. Can't do what he needs to do because of the quarterback.
I'll bet they talk every day during the season. It's not like Art is an absentee owner. He's in the building every day. That's one of the things about their organization that is semi-unique. You know, he's in the building every single day.
It sure is interesting to read, though, and minds can change. Jerry, and Mike could always come out and say, you know what, I was optimistic that we could do things with Matt, but upon further review, I think we can do better. Something like that.
I guess.
He could always do that. Why not?
I don't see it, Joe. I don't see it.
Why do you think Jerry does?
I don't know. I mean, because obviously he
at least see the possibility still existing.
He has great sources, so I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just giving you my opinion here. Maybe they could fire him next week. I just don't see Mike saying what he said the other day.
The optimistic quote.
Right.
Wow. Mason Rudolph and Matt Canada. I'm speechless, Ron. I'm speechless.
May not be Mason Rudolph. Maybe not. I'm betting on it. If I'm a betting man, I'm going to bet on that.
He's gone from being comfortable with Mason as his starter, quote, comfortable. Yeah, we'd be comfortable with that, too.
Right.
He's on even footing with Dwayne Haskins.
Right. But I still think it might be somebody else.
Jerry seems to believe that the best route is to shore up your offensive line in some other areas next year, go with what you got at quarterback, and shoot for a quarterback the following year.
Which are supposedly a better class coming out.
And you could have, maybe that is the plan. Maybe that's the plan. We're going to stink next year. It's not a terrible plan.
You've been advocating that for a while.
Not necessarily. I've been saying that's best for the franchise probably, but If I could get a quarterback in here, I'd still try to win.
I'm not sure who Dick Van Dyke at Miami, I thought was the best quarterback I saw all year. I thought he outplayed Pickett that day that Miami beat Pitt. I don't know if he's eligible to come out after next year or not. That's just one guy that I was thinking of. You know, they say that the next group of quarterbacks is going to be better than this group.
We shall see. What if they take Pickett at 20? What if they do?
And it'll be a fascinating story.
I happen to think he's going to be available at 20, and I want that on the record, horse. Ron, we have a time capsule to open in the 1 o'clock hour, perhaps 1:25 for that.
We have a guest coming up at 1.
I know we do. 1:25.
And I think we might take that guest all the way to 2 so we can avoid the time capsule.
No, we're going to hear our predictions from before the season. But first, our friend Ryan Wilson from CBSSports.com. Wait till you hear who he has the Steelers taking at 20. He specializes in the draft, and we're going to talk to him next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.